Mr. Pelton, we are live.
Thank you. Hello and welcome to our press teleconference. My name is Tom Pelton, and I am Director of Communications for the Environmental Integrity Project. We're a nonprofit, nonpartisan, 17-year-old organization based in Austin, Texas, and Washington, D.C., that is dedicated to enforcing environmental laws to protect public health. Today, we are releasing our new report, Plastics Pollution on the Rise: Growth of the Houston Area Plastics Industry Threatens Air Quality and Public Safety. The report is available on our website, www.environmentalintegrity.org. You might have seen a story on the front page of the Houston Chronicle this morning on our report. One clarification from that story: we calculate that the plastics industry is responsible for 22% of the industrial air pollution in the Houston area. This does not include air pollution from vehicles, which is an additional amount of pollution. Okay, we will have four speakers today, followed by a question and answer session with reporters. To ask a question, press star one on your phone. Our first speaker will be Ilan Levine, Texas Director of the Environmental Integrity Project. Next, we'll have Dr. Bakia Nelson, Executive Director of Air Alliance Houston. Third, Dr. Brett Perkison, a board-certified physician, certified with the American College of Occupational and Environmental Medicine, an expert on the public health impact of air pollution. And finally, we'll have Charles Cruz, a Baytown resident and chemical engineer who witnessed a July 31st fire at the ExxonMobil Baytown plant east of Houston that produces plastics ingredients. So we'll go ahead and start off with Ilan Levine of the Environmental Integrity Project. His name is spelled I-L-A-N. L-E-V-I-N, Ilan Levine. Go ahead, Ilan.
Thanks, Tom. Ilan Levine, Environmental Integrity Project. Thanks for this opportunity to be here today. The plastics industry has an environmental footprint that stretches around the world. It includes greenhouse gas emissions into the atmosphere, to plastic bags littering our beaches, to a floating patch of garbage the size of Texas in the North Pacific Ocean. But not everyone knows how closely plastics are linked to the oil and gas industry. Natural gas is both the primary ingredient in plastics manufacturing, and it's also the main fuel that powers the factories that make plastics. So, for example, ethane comes from natural gas. It's processed into ethylene, which is the main ingredient in polyethylene, one of the cheapest and most widely used plastics in the world. It's molded into things like water bottles, grocery bags. So over the last decade or so, hydraulic fracturing or fracking and other technology jumps in the oil fields have resulted in cheap and abundant natural gas, and that plummeting price of fracked gas has essentially sparked a boom in plastics manufacturing, and that's especially true along the Gulf Coast. So the Environmental Integrity Project decided to take a look at the growth of the plastic industry and its pollution impact, and we wanted to look at this industry in the heart of the Gulf Coast's industrial zone, the Houston area. So our analysts and researchers examined records from the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality and the U.S. EPA, and we also relied on a plastics industry database, a commercial database. And what we found, which is detailed in our new report, Plastics Pollution on the Rise, is that along with growth of the plastics industry comes more air pollution and additional safety risks in the Houston region. And this public safety problem is illustrated by a series of fires and explosions at plants in the Houston area this year. Okay, so here's some numbers from our report. We found 90 plants in the Houston and Beaumont Port Arthur region that manufacture either plastics products or the ingredients to make plastics. And nearly two-thirds of these plants, so 57 of the 90, have violated the Federal Clean Air Act over the last 5 years. That's according to EPA records. About 20% of these plastics plants, so 19 of the 90, have been cited by the EPA over the last 5 years for failing to follow federal disaster management requirements. These are the disaster management and planning requirements meant to prevent fires or explosions. And this lack of disaster planning is a serious concern because fires and explosions caused serious injuries and pollution releases at two of the plants just this year. So one of those was ExxonMobil's Baytown Petrochemical Complex. This is on July 31st, just not too long ago. A fire at the Exxon Baytown plant, the largest petrochemical complex in the country, and that fire was in a unit containing propylene, which is a very flammable material used in plastics. 37 people were hurt, and 14,000 pounds of the carcinogen, benzene, was released into the air. And it was the second major fire at that Exxon site, with the first one being on March 16th. Another example, an explosion and a fire on April 2nd at the Kimco plant in Crosby, northeast Houston, killed a worker and critically injured a second worker. And like many of the plastics plants listed in our report, the Kimco plant had been cited by the U.S. EPA for not following federal disaster planning requirements. But the company was fined a mere $5,200 for that violation in 2015, according to EPA records. Some more numbers. In terms of the total air pollution released, the 90 plastics plants that we studied in the Houston area reported 55,704 tons of dangerous pollutants in 2017. That's the most recent year for which this data is available. And by the way, that 55,704 tons, that's just what EPA calls criteria air pollutants. These are what some might call traditional air pollutants: sulfur dioxide, NOx, nitrogen oxides, and volatile organic compounds that create a smog, fine particles that are harmful to people. So there's six pollutants that we looked at, but we didn't, you know, our report does not include the greenhouse gas emissions and some other pollution that is reported from these sites. Our review of the state agency files and an industry database found an additional 45 plastics-related expansion projects or new construction projects in the Houston region. So these are proposed but not yet built. And then there's an additional three plastics plants that have been built. They were completed in 2018, but there's no air pollution data yet available for those plants. So it's not clear exactly how much new air pollution will be emitted from these new 48 Houston area plastics projects. However, the permitting documents that are available to the public for just a third of these projects, 16 out of these 48, show that these facilities are being authorized to release up to an additional 14,192 tons of air pollution every year. So that's a lot of new pollution coming into a region that already struggles with toxic emissions and the health impacts from ozone, also called smog. So we also look into the compliance, how well this industry is following the Clean Air Act. And we used state and federal records in this analysis. And here are a few numbers from that investigation. 57 of the 90 plastics plants that we examined in our report were responsible for a total of 222 air pollution violations over the last 5 years. But that's really just the tip of the iceberg, because the records also show that these 90 plants actually reported far more unauthorized pollution, so illegal pollution, that went unpenalized by the state. And that's primarily due to a loophole that lets companies escape penalties when they have fires and explosions that they call unplanned events. A few more numbers, and then I'll wrap it up. From 2015 to 2017, Texas imposed penalties on only 7%, 57 out of 872 of these unpermitted, unauthorized air pollution releases from Houston area plants. Now, these 872 incidents, these are industry self-reported, released 11 million pounds of air pollution. However, the 57 fines that the state of Texas issued totaled only $665,000, just a little more than $665,000, which means that Texas issued penalties or recovered penalties for at about 6 cents per pound of illegal pollution. So that's not good enough to protect Texas residents. So our report recommends several solutions and policy changes, and they're listed in our report. I want to hit a couple of them. First, we focus heavily on enforcement. EPA and the state of Texas should step up their enforcement, especially on the federal disaster planning requirements, so that these plastics plants are prepared for fires and floods and hurricanes, and so that the communities are better protected. Texas should penalize polluters when they report violations. A couple of other recommendations that we're proposing along with many of our allies in the Houston area. One is for state and local agencies to do air quality testing after chemical disasters, and then notifying the public. And then finally, local governments across the region should create zoning policies. I know this is a hot issue or a thorny issue in the Houston area, but without zoning policies to protect residents, we're not going to reduce the risk to these vulnerable communities. So with that, I'll turn it back over to Tom to introduce the next speaker, and I look forward to the Q&A. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Ilan. That was Ilan Levine, I-L-A-N-L-E-V-I-N, Texas Director of the Environmental Integrity Project. Next, we'll have Dr. Bakia Nelson, Executive Director of Air Alliance Houston. Her name is spelled Bakia, B-A-K-E-Y-A-H, Nelson, N-E-L-S-O-N, Dr. Bakia Nelson. Go ahead, Dr. Nelson.
Thank you, Tom. When fires and explosions hit plastic plants like they did twice this year at the ExxonMobil Baytown complex, the people who suffer most are local residents, particularly communities of color and or low wealth, who are often among the most vulnerable. They and their children have to breathe in the cancer-causing benzene and other toxic pollutants released during industrial accidents, and unfortunately often don't have the money or the lawyers or the political clout to do anything about it. Instead of investing in building the Texas Commission for Environmental Quality's enforcement capacity, during the last legislative session, our state elected officials opted to make it easier for industry to do business by increasing TCEQ's capacity to expedite air permit applications. Harris County and all the counties along the Gulf Coast are experiencing this booming growth in the plastics industry. Meanwhile, communities are expected to put up with the public health and safety risks from an expanding industry, sporadic and lethargic enforcement of existing environmental laws, the scarce availability of resources for air monitoring and mitigations to address disproportionate community impacts, the perpetuation of irresponsible and unjust land use and development, and the troubling expectation from our lawmakers that we trade off our health and the health of our families as the cost of doing business. The health and safety of Houston communities is priceless. We need the TCEQ and the EPA to step up and do a better job of enforcing the Federal Clean Air Act to protect the families living in these sacrifice zones. We need TCEQ and EPA to issue stronger pollution control permits for plastics and petrochemical plants that require the most advanced available pollution control equipment. We also need the state and federal agencies to more vigorously enforce the permit limits that they do put in, imposing substantial penalties on companies that violate their permit limits so that they have a financial incentive to invest in better pollution controls. The residents of the Houston area also deserve better air pollution monitoring and improved communication about fires and disasters so that they can be better informed and better protect themselves and their families. These common sense recommendations are not innovative or revolutionary. We are simply asking regulatory agencies to enforce the law. Likewise, we are also asking decision makers to ensure the protection of communities of the communities they were elected to serve. Thank you. I'll turn it back over to Tom.
Thank you. That was Dr. Bakia Nelson, Executive Director of Air Alliance Houston. Her name is spelled B-A-K-E-Y-A-H, Nelson, N-E-L-S-O-N, Dr. Bakia Nelson. Next, we'll have Dr. Brett Perkison, a board-certified physician, certified with the American College of Occupational and Environmental Medicine, an expert on the public health impact of air pollution. Go ahead, Dr. Perkison. His name is spelled B-R-E-T-T, Brett Perkison, P-E-R-K-I-S-O-N. Go ahead, Dr. Perkison.
Okay, thanks. Hi, I'd like to take a few minutes today to discuss the health effects of a few of the air pollutants related to the topic we're discussing today. That is NOx, VOCs, ozone, and particulate matter. The chemicals nitric oxide and nitrogen dioxide are often referred together as NOx, and there are natural sources of NOx, including from lightning and forest fires, but they are also the man-made byproducts of the combustion of fossil fuels, including from coal, oil, and natural gas. Coal-fired power plants are the primary sources of NOx production in the U.S., but oil and gas refining and manufacturing in the petrochemical industry are also producers, as are automobiles, diesel trucks, buses, and non-road engines. Volatile organic compounds, commonly called VOCs, are also products of combustion. Like nitric oxide, VOCs are a natural byproduct in different types of plants and bacteria, but they're also the result of gasoline combustion and from the evaporation of hydrocarbons, including liquid fuels, organic chemicals, and solvents containing products like are found in paints and cleaners and nail polish remover. The term volatile is due to their extreme readiness to vaporize at room temperatures. And finally, ozone is formed at the Earth's ground level by the interaction of nitric oxide with the VOCs. And ozone is composed of three molecules of oxygen instead of the usual two molecules, and it acts as an irritant in our respiratory tract. It can cause muscles of the airways to constrict and prevent people from being able to take a deep breath. And especially if a person has underlying asthma, ozone can make breathing more difficult and asthma attacks occur more often. In people with severe asthma, the presence of ozone can even keep them inside and preventing them from going to school or to work to avoid exposure, increased visits to the emergency room to seek relief. Children are especially vulnerable to the effects of ozone as they have smaller respiratory tracts and faster respiratory rates. And prolonged exposure to ozone can irreversibly damage their airways. And moreover, the production of ozone from NOx and VOCs increases with increasing ambient temperatures and with sunlight. And as the effects of climate change do increase, these hotter temperatures for longer periods of the year only serve to increase ozone production. Lastly, particulate matter refers to the tiny solid particles that are also produced by internal combustion. They're largely composed of elemental carbon. And these particles are inhaled into the respiratory system, and they're so small that they're able to pass from the lung air sacs or alveoli into the circulatory system. and increases in particulate matter in the air is associated with increase in heart attacks and strokes in the affected population. Improvements in the efficiency of automobile engines has reduced the NOx emissions of cars when looking at ozone levels of today compared to 1999 levels. There has been a decrease in amounts. However, the Houston population has continued to increase, and combining that with an increase in manufacturing and rising temperatures have all caused ozone levels to have a recent increase since 2016 and continue to make these pollutants a problem in the region. Thank you.
Thank you. That was Dr. Brett Perkison, name spelled B-R-E-T-T. P-E-R-K-I-S-O-N, Dr. Brett Perkison. And our final speaker is Charles Cruz, a 14-year resident of the Baytown community east of Houston and a chemical engineer who witnessed the July 31st fire at the ExxonMobil Baytown plant that produces plastics ingredients. His name is spelled Charles, C-H-A-R-L-E-S, Cruz, C-R-E-W-S. Go ahead, Charles.
Thanks, Tom. So, as Tom mentioned, I'm a chemical engineer. I received my degree from Texas A&M 2005. I've been working in the Baytown area pretty much since that time. I spent a little over 8 years with, used to be called Bayer Material Science, now it's called Covestro, and then worked for an insurance company after that. So I live within 3 miles of where I live, there are a large number of petrochemical plants. Most recently, the Chevron Phillips olefins unit and the Exxon olefins unit came online. These are two world-scale plants, probably on the order of multi-billion-dollar investments. And that's great for the economy of the area, but it's not great for the increased pollution that they bring. Like I said, I live within 3 miles of both of these plants. I've witnessed from my backyard all three fires that have been mentioned. There was the July 31st Exxon fire, the April 2nd Crosby Chemco fire, and the March 16th Exxon fire. I was able to see the plumes of smoke rising from all three facilities from my backyard. Took pictures with them of them on my phone. It's not a reassuring feeling to know that old established plants like these that have been here for 30, 50 or more years are having these kinds of problems. And then the expansion of new process units, which always have operational difficulties coming online. It's like a whole sea of new drivers on the road that are 16 years old. You know they're going to have problems. It's just that's the way the industry works. It's kind of unsettling to know that all these new plants are coming online. They're going to have those operational difficulties as their staff become accustomed to operating those units over the next decade. I'm currently planning to leave the Harris County area. The repetitive nature of these fires and pollution is just weighed on me a lot over the past decade, and I'm planning to move next summer. I worked as a plant engineer, so I was involved in the process hazard analyses at plants, and then as a risk engineer for the insurance company, I visited many other plants and reviewed their PHAs, their maintenance records, and so forth. All the things, their disaster planning, all the things that they do to try to make sure that what's inside the pipes stays inside the pipes or is controlled when for their emissions. The biggest issue that I see is that while there are laws on the books for EPA and TCEQ to enforce those laws and to levy fines on companies that deviate from normal expectations or increased emissions, when a plant makes $1 million a day, a $40,000 fine represents 1 hour of production. That's like getting a speeding ticket that costs $10. It's a joke. and the enforcement of the existing known issues needs to be better enforced and more stringently enforced. I really think that the levels of fines that are typically levied on plants are just, they're not considered a significant punishment by the folks that run the plants. And I think that needs to change. That's it for me.
All right. Thank you. Thanks, Charles. That was Charles Cruz, Charles Cruz, Crews, a Baytown resident and chemical engineer with a lot of experience in the industry. Now we're going to open it up to questions from reporters. Sam, remind the reporters how to get in line for questions.
At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. We will pause for just a moment for the Q&A roster. Your first question comes from the line of Sean Riley with E&E News.
Good morning. Thanks for doing the call. Two housekeeping questions. One is in regard to the 2017 data showing that plastic-related plants released 55,704 tons of air pollution. You said those were criteria pollutants. It looks like you also included VOCs. Is it accurate to say that that number would not include all hazardous air pollutants as defined by EPA under the Clean Air Act?
Ilan Levine, VIP, can you tackle that? Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Sean. Yes, that is correct. That number, the roughly 55,000 tons of reported pollution per year from these plastics plants would not include many, many air toxics. And to drill down a little bit, Sean, yes, you're correct. There are some of those air toxics are volatile compounds, so they would be counted by VOCs. But as you know, many air toxics like heavy metals and others are not counted as criteria pollutants. And I know you had another question.
Yeah, and the other one was when you say that there have been, TCEQ has cited these plants for 222 violations over the last 5 years, is it accurate to say that those would be permit violations or violations of their Clean Air Act permits?
Yes. Yes, Sean. There may be some other federal regulations that were also included in there, but generally I think it's safe to say that those are going to be violations of primarily air permit limits.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Sean. Next question.
Oh, your next question comes from the line of Steve Tolokin at Plastics News.
Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, hi, good morning. Thanks for taking the call. I guess just two general questions. Regarding enforcement or, you know, regulatory action, are there other states you'd point to that you feel do a better job around, you know, these kinds of air pollution regulations? And then a second question, I mean, obviously there's a huge increase in the investment in plastics in Houston and in Texas and on the Gulf Coast. Is there any data to indicate whether the plastics industry is better or worse than other industries when it comes to these sorts of air pollutions? Thanks.
Ilan Levine, do you want to tackle those?
Yeah, I'll do my best, Steve. Thank you for the questions. We did not look at other states, so we didn't compare this to other states. I will say that there are no other states, with the possible exception of Louisiana, that I think would be a fair comparison just because of the sheer number of oil, gas, and petrochemical and plastics-related industries that are that dominate our Texas Gulf Coast economy. And so we did not compare to other states, to answer your question. And we didn't compare the three standard industrial codes, the SIC codes that we use to define plastics industries We did not compare those to other industry sectors in terms of better or worse, but that is something that we hope to do in the future. So.
Okay, thank you.
All right, next question.
There are no more questions in queue.
Okay. Well, thank you, everyone, for participating. If you have any follow-up questions, you can call me, Tom Pelton, at 443-510-2574, or email me at tpelton@environmentalintegrity.org. Of course, you can find the report on our website, www.environmentalintegrity.org. And thanks, everyone, and have a great day.
That concludes this morning's teleconference. You may now disconnect your line.